Hey, welcome back to our big spiritual family, the local faith community. We also would like to welcome those from Zhong Wen Tang. Zhong Wen Tang 的弟兄姐妹们，欢迎来到我们的属灵大家庭，我们信仰的群体。Now today we'll be continuing with part 2 of our faith community series, focusing on the global church. I'm sure many of you have traveled overseas in the past for vacation, business trips, to study, to visit a family or a friend. But have you ever attended a church while you were overseas? Having fellowship with Christians there in the place or the country you were visiting. And how did it feel? I think it was more than 1 month ago, there was a businessman from America that came here to Penang. So he attended our Every Nation Georgetown afternoon service. Brother Casey and I met with him. You still remember him? Yeah. So he said he was glad and blessed that after a week surrounded by mostly non-Christians, with people who are secular-minded, that he could be back to the church with people who share the same faith with him, to a community that worship the same one true God. Now I hope he felt at home as he spent time with us as his global faith community, even though he was 9,000 miles away from his home. Let's pray before we unpack further on what does the global faith community mean and how are we to live as one. Let's pray. Dear Lord Father, we thank you for the word that was made flesh, that we may become the children of God and one big family of God in Christ. Help us, Lord, to see what the global church is, the global faith community is, and to love the church just as Jesus loved the church. We pray that your Spirit will enlighten us to understand your word and to live accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what does the global faith community mean? Every Nation Church is a global church movement and has many churches all around the world. As you can see, we have 82 nations with Every Nation Church. But is that what makes us a global faith community? That is true. But the global faith community is beyond that. If you read the Apostles' Creed, there is a sentence in the Creed that says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, and the communion of saints. With what? The Holy Catholic Church? I remember 2 years ago, I mentioned the phrase, the Holy Catholic Church, in my opening prayer for one of the Sunday services. And then it was either Pastor or April that came after that and told me that someone asked if we are a Catholic church, you know, because I mentioned that phrase. So I think the word Catholic can be confusing to some because we have many denominations today and we think of either the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church. The Holy Catholic Church has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. We do not pledge our allegiance to the Pope or the Roman Catholic theology. The word Catholic here simply means universal. So we believe in a universal church, in other words, a global church. Now I mentioned earlier about church denominations. If you go around Penang or search online, you will find that there are many different churches, different denominations and backgrounds. There are the Baptist Church, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, and many more. But despite all this, in reality, there is but only one church, one that is universal and global. Now, how is that so? In the past, under the law in the Old Testament, the people of God are only confined to one nation, that is Israel. But today, under the gospel, the church is now universal. As long as you profess your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of the global church. As we sang the song just now, I believe in Jesus Christ and I belong to Jesus. Now, the global church is not defined by geographical boundaries, ethnicity, social class, church order, or anything else. Okay. Ephesians 4, verse 4 to 6 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belonged to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. Now the word one here appears 7 times in these 3 verses to emphasize on oneness or unity. One body here refers to one body of Christ, that is the church. And hence, we see that there's but only one church of Christ. Now the Bible also gives us a glimpse of how the church will look like in the future. Revelation 7, 9 to 10 reads, after this I look, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, what do you see here? We see a great multitude of people that no one could number from every nation, not just from our every nation churches, but all over from different tribes, people, and languages. Now, I did a quick search online, and I found that it's estimated that there has been 109 billion people that have lived and died on Earth as of today. Now, assuming that there's only 10% who are saved as Christian, there will be roughly 11 billion people in the new heaven and new earth. So expect to see many, many, many people in the new heaven and earth. And what are they doing? They are all praising God and Jesus the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So why are they worshipping and giving praise to the Lamb? Revelation 5, 9 to 10 tells us the answer. This is because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain, and by his blood he ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Again, we see that God's kingdom does not exclude any nation. The kingdom of God welcomes all who repent of their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus. So our faith community must be global because Jesus has already purchased people from every nation and ethnicity to be part of it. Now, if you happen to dislike or discriminate against people from certain nation or races, it's time to start loving them because you will be living with them and worshipping and praising the Lord together to all eternity. Now, the global church isn't something God thought of as a plan B. It's not because the nation Israel, as a holy nation, did not work out that God decides to build a global church. Rather, since the very beginning, God has always been working on building his church. The universal church is the realization of God's plan for his creation. Even in the Old Testament, God has foretold through the prophets that one day will come where nations would worship the God of Israel. Psalm 22:27 says, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Let us also look at Isaiah 49:6. I here refers to God. God says, I will also make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So who does this you refer to? It's Jesus Christ. As the church grows to include all peoples from every nation, the prophecy has now been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So the question we will have to ask ourselves today is, are we willing to give up our preferences and embrace a global church, a church consisting of people from different nations and ethnicities? And I'm sure you do. Praise the Lord. Even in Every Nation Church, Penang, today here, we have people from different nations, races, and culture, worshipping the Lord together. We also live as one community, serving together, fellowshipping, and sharing our lives together in life groups. So how does a global faith community look like? It is actually the same as the local faith community, since there is only one church. So last week, Pastor mentioned that there are four characteristics of the local faith community. Do you still remember them? First, scriptural. Second, spiritual. Third, relational. And lastly, missional. Very good. So we'll look at these four characteristics again, but from a different passage and with a perspective of a global church. Let's read from Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Okay. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God and in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. Verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So, Ephesians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, and he was writing to the church in Ephesus, and his readers were Gentiles, just like you and me. And in verse 11 to 12, Paul reminded the Gentiles who they were in the past, before they came to know Christ. Once upon a time, they were separated from Jesus Christ and alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise. Now, they had no relationship with God and no knowledge of him, and therefore without God's blessing. But in verse 13 and 14, we see that there is a turning point. But now in Christ Jesus, the preposition in here highlights our union with Christ. Jesus came to us and he became our peace. By his sacrificial death and blood on the cross, Jesus brought us who were once far off to be near to him. He is the very key that reconciles man to God. But God did not just talk about reconciliation with God. Through our union with Christ, He has also made the Gentiles and the Jews both one. And He has broken down the dividing wall of hostility, thereby reconciling the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, do you see something here? Now, Paul describes both the Gentiles' vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with the Jews. In Christ, they reconcile with one another. Now, this message also applies to us today. We have not just been reconciled to God, but with one another. It doesn't matter what is your race, ethnicity, or economic status. All of us can and should live harmoniously in unity and not rejecting one another. That's relational. Next, in verse 17 to 18, it says that, "And He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." Now Jesus came and preached the gospel of peace to us. Verse 17 is probably referring to Jesus preaching in the Spirit through His apostles, since He did not preach directly to us. Now verse 18 then mentioned that it is in one Spirit that we have access to God through Christ. If you read through the book of Ephesians, you'll see that Paul always put an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Paul reminded us that the Christians, firstly, are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we have access to the Father through the Spirit. Thirdly, we are a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And fourth, we are strengthened in our inner man through the Spirit. And lastly, we are graced with the unity of the Spirit. As Christians, we must be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us and the working of the Holy Spirit and draw strength from Him. That's spiritual. And then Paul assured the Gentiles in verse 19 that, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now praise the Lord, today all of us here are now fellow citizens of God, God's heavenly kingdom, with believers from all over the world, all belonging to the household of God. We are one big global faith community, one big spiritual family. Now, as Christians, we now enjoy the privileged status as God's children and have access to all His spiritual blessings. Besides that, there is no difference between the Gentile and the Jews in the church. There's no first-class or second-class citizen, and no one group of people is superior than the other. We are all the same. So when I was studying in New Zealand for a year, I joined a church there. So if you count, there were only four Chinese in the whole church. And they are not China Chinese, but Chinese from different parts of the world. So in that sense, we were minorities. But then, we didn't have or need a big Chinese community of our own. We could worship, fellowship, and serve together in the church, together as one, with the Caucasians and the Maoris, who are the New Zealand indigenous people. So what did Paul say next? Verse 20. "The church is to build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone." What does the foundation of the apostles and prophets mean? It means that the foundation of the church, this very church, is consists of the apostles and prophets. Here the prophets are referring to the capital letter A, apostles. So they are not any apostles who are messengers in the general sense, but rather they are betrothed apostles. James, the brother of Jesus, the apostle Paul himself, and a few others. The prophets here, on the other hand, most likely refers to the New Testament prophets in the early church, instead of the Old Testament prophets such as Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. Together, the New Testament apostles and prophets, their teaching form and ensure that the church foundation is built in accordance with the truth and authorization of God, our master builder. So today, the apostolic teaching has been compiled into our Bible, the Holy Scripture. As the foundation has been laid once for all, there are no longer any apostles and prophets today. So instead of seeking and adding new revelation upon this foundation, we as the church should rather strive to attain better understanding of the word of the apostolic teaching and faithfully apply them while we're waiting for Christ's second coming. So that's scriptural. Now, more importantly, Paul points out that that Christ Jesus himself is the vital cornerstone that supports and determines the structure of the whole building, where the foundation of the apostles and prophets are built upon him. So in other words, the temple is built based on the revelation given in Christ, with the apostles and prophets merely elaborating and explaining the mystery of Christ, having made known to them by Holy Spirit. So what is this mystery of Christ? This is the good news that all us non-Jews here today now can become the children of God, members of the church, and sharing in God's promises because of what he has done for us, and we are now in him. So I think we should also add on Christ-centered in addition to the four characteristics of a global faith community. Now lastly, verse 21 to 22 tells us that together we'll grow into a holy temple of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will work in us and make us all into a dwelling place for God himself. Just as the physical temple in the Old Testament is the dwelling place of God, today we are the spiritual temple. Today, God dwells in the body of Christ, the one universal church. The growth that Paul has in mind here seems to be of two kinds. The first one is spiritual growth, whereby we grow spiritually into a holy temple. And the second one is numerical growth, as Gentiles believers are being added to the structure of Christ, like living stones. So in view of that, let's be reminded that our mission is not complete yet until the Christian faith community includes people from every tribe and language and people and nation. Now, as we enjoy our new status as the children of God and all the privileges, we do have new responsibilities. Indeed, we are called to make disciples. Matthew 28 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And it doesn't end there. It says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So then, how should we live as a global faith community today? First, we can pray. We can show our interest and our love to the people and to the Christians from other nations. We can learn about their situation in the country, their culture, and their challenges. We can pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for their faith. We can pray for the missionaries to bring the gospel faithfully to every nation. And most importantly, we pray for the lost souls that need Jesus Christ. You can sign up to a missionary newsletter or any Christian ministry newsletter to learn more about their missions and their ministry in progress. Join the Global Church prayer movement to pray for the world by downloading the Operation World app or through their website. Next, we can join or support the mission work. So, Every Nation Church Penang has organizers short mission trips every year. So we just had our campus mission trip to Every Nation Hat Yai in April, and Pastor is going to bring another team to EM Medan this coming August, which is in Indonesia. So if you are interested, please register with Pastor. And then Every Nation Church Malaysia has also organized a mission trip to Japan this year. But unfortunately, it has been fully signed up. So what's left is another overseas mission trip that is over the sea to Kuching this October or November. So it is still available to all and open for sign up. Do sign up if you're interested. And what if you are not able to join any mission trip? You can always support other long-term or short-term mission trips through prayer and financially. Now, the church mission is not limited to international ministry. Okay? When we talk about mission, we always think international and cross-cultural. You might not go overseas for a cross-cultural missionary, but you can be part of our local mission. Every Nation Church Penang has been planting new churches in the past few years. We now have EN Alostar and also EN Bukit Matajam. And we need all the support from every one of you. And I'm sure many of you know Brother Terence and Pui Ling. When they left Penang to Setia Alam, our late pastor team approached them, and they have since started a new church plant in Every Nation Setia Alam. They are now their church lay leaders. And this year, Mani and I has also joined them to serve alongside with them. So yeah, you can also be missional by being part of a local church mission, a local church planting. So as we end today's sermon, let us be reminded again of how Christ has loved His church. Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. As we sang the song just now, that we will love the Lord with all our heart and with all we are, let us also love our church with all our hearts and all we are. Let us love the church with a selfless love, just as how Christ loved the church sacrificially. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious Father, you have shown us how you have loved us without any reservation. You have sent us Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross, that we may reconcile to you and be reconciled to one another. Lord, from the beginning to the end, salvation is by your gracious works, and salvation belongs to you and you alone. Thank you, Lord, and blessed are you, Lord God, who has blessed us in Christ with every blessing in the heavenly place. You have shown us that the one body of Christ is made to be universal. It is a global faith community, and we are to be Christ-centered and Spirit-filled. Lord, as we abide in your truth and your love, build the church, Lord, and strengthen the spiritual unity among us. Lord, we pray for the many nations around us, all the nations, that the lost will be touched by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will quicken their hearts and open their eyes that they may see your glorious gospel. We pray for those who are being persecuted. We pray that you will sustain and preserve their faith, Lord, even in the face of death. And we pray for those who gave up everything to follow you, Lord, to be missionaries throughout the world, to share the gospel faithfully. Bless the works of their hands, Lord. Lord, even as we receive God's grace and love, you have also called us to spread and share your love and your grace with the world around us. So let us go in peace as we are dismissed today. Let us go in peace to love and serve you, Lord, with gladness. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray.